explosion and how intelligent designs. Have you? I'm sorry.
I don't believe so. Is this, when did this come out?
It's on Tubi. It's been out for probably 10 years.
Okay.
It's called Darwin's Dilemma. Darwin could never explain the Cambrian explosion, and explains in deep detail on intelligent design that there is really 8 different structures of I guess beings or animals or whatever that was created in the ocean. I'm sorry, I'm in the back of a semi, a team hall, if it sounds weird. But yeah, that might be something you ought to look into. It really has opened my eyes. I mean, I struggled with evolution for a long time because you know, there has to be some kind of intelligence behind it, in my opinion.
I very strongly disagree.
Yeah, you need to watch the movie. It really opened my eyes.
I'm aware of Stephen Meyer and his arguments. They're really terrible. Professor Dave on YouTube has done pretty comprehensive work refuting Stephen Meyer's claims. Stephen Meyer just lies by omission and leaves all kinds of things out. The Cambrian explosion is, it occurred over a period of between 10 to 40 million years. So it's hardly a snapshot in history, but we know that there was life before the Cambrian. So what Meyer does, Meyer's a very weird character. Meyer doesn't believe that the Earth is only a few thousand years old and that God created all of the life on the planet at pretty much the same time. He doesn't believe that. But he, for whatever reason, believes in odd limitations and odd and arbitrary limitations to evolution. But Meyer can't be honest about what he believes because he knows the majority of the people that consume his content are people that do believe in a kind of biblical literacy that says, yeah, the Earth was actually created in a matter of 6 days and all the life was created all at once. So Meyer has to sow doubt in evolution, but without actually giving away the plot that, well, he also doesn't agree with that interpretation of the Bible because he knows if he says that, nobody will buy or watch those DVDs. So he does these extremely dishonest tricks.
Well, there's many different.
I only need about 10 more seconds. Sorry. He does these really dishonest tricks, like leaving out the crucial details that, wait a minute, the Cambrian explosion, he talks about it as if it was the emergence of life on this planet when it's not, and he knows that it's not.
No, it's not the emergence of it, but it is how fast it all happened all at once.
Your service is cutting out so bad, I can't hear anything you're saying.
Fast, nothing intertwining, but barely ever crossing. It's just grows individually. So, yeah, I mean,
Chad, did you hear me? Because
think of it, but there's way more different professors. Yeah, I heard you, but I mean, you could still learn people on there.
That's not what I'm talking about. You didn't hear me. Your service is cutting out so bad that I can barely, like, there was a full 10, 15 seconds where I couldn't hear anything except. So we didn't hear hardly anything you said at all.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm in a semi going down the road. I'll let you go then.
Well, bye. We can hear you now, but just for that part, I couldn't.
Yeah, different services, probably different areas. But yeah, I mean, there's many different people in the movie that talk, not just the main guy that you know, speaks on it. So yeah, if you're open to, you know, different of intelligent design, that would be something to look into. But maybe if you looked into it all and you already know, so it really opened up my eye. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Pythagoras did not invent the Pythagorean theorem. Thomas Edison did not invent the light bulb. George Washington Carver didn't invent peanut butter. Surprised? There are hundreds of more misconceptions you can learn the truth about in my book, Facts That Aren't True. Get your own signed copy or audiobook today. Link in the description. I say that evolution is a fact because of the overwhelming amount of evidence.
And such as?
Genetics, the fossil record, comparative anatomy, embryology. Those are the main ones.
So can we start with the first one?
Yeah, I either said genetics or paleontology. I don't remember.
I believe it was genetics, I believe.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Do you disagree that genetics is evidence of evolution?
I'm here to learn. Is that okay? Oh, or do I have to have an opposing view, you know?
Well, I mean, that is kind of what I'm looking for, but we can do a few minutes.
Okay. But yeah, you're not going to barely get any pushback from me. So yeah. What about genetics?
So if evolution is true, then it would have to mean that all life on the planet is related, because the idea goes life originated somewhere on this planet and then life evolves, but the evolution process just branches out and creates all the species that we see today. So every organism would have to be related to some extent. And that is the case. Every single living thing on the planet shares at least one gene. We all have the same fundamental genetic molecule, the DNA. But then what's even more powerful than that is the amount of relation between species makes perfect sense in light of evolution. So we should be most closely related to the great apes because that's what we look most similar to. All of the other pieces of evidence we would use to say that humans and chimps, or whatever the great apes, not just chimps, but all the evidence we would use, like by doing anatomy and the fossil record to say, yeah, we're related, should correlate strongly with genetics. And it does. We share 98% of our genes with some of them, and then down to the low 90s for others, maybe mid 80s or something like that.
I understand the concept, certain members of the species happen to have these mutations that end up being beneficial, and since they have these beneficial mutations, they end up being able to survive and being able to reproduce and pass on those beneficial genes, right? And then, it's just this extremely slow process. I just feel like it's, I don't know, I feel like it's just, I just don't understand, how do they transition onto water? How do we, breathe underwater? How did gills evolve if you can't be underwater without gills?
Life started underwater. Life first evolved in the water. The earliest forms of life would have been, unicellular things. And so oxygen just goes across their cell membranes as they need it, and it naturally just goes out. Fish evolving gills. What's actually funny is there have been fish that have had lungs before. Lungs are actually a very ancient trait in fish. It's actually kind of wild to think about, but no, I've never read anything specifically into how the gills were formed, but all gills do. So the first organisms, oxygen could go in and out of their bodies because they were really simple organisms anyway. Think of a jellyfish too. So a jellyfish is an animal. It's made of millions or billions of cells. But it doesn't have to have gills because its body also just lets oxygen go in and out of it. So fish have a part of their body, the gills, where we would say it's highly permeable. The oxygen can go in and out. We have that too. It's in our lungs. Our skin won't do it. The inside of your mouth won't do it. Your stomach won't do it. So you can't eat air, but the insides of our lungs do it. And so anyways, fish have the gills, and it's just that same kind of tissue. And then if you ever look at gills, they have a lot of like, what's the best way to put it? It looks like a bunch of like fins or fans or something like that. And that just makes a ton of surface area is the thing. So the gills aren't actually really all that much of a mystery, because mm-hmm. the earliest organisms already had the ability to move oxygen in and out of their bodies. What's actually more interesting is how did the fish make other parts of their body not for that purpose and instead for other purposes? So.
And also, like, the last guest was talking about, you know, his skepticism about radioactive decay. And I'm just like, I just don't understand, like, where does that come from? Because, like, my understanding of it is, like, something, I haven't took chemistry in a long time, but something is breaking down, right? And, like, so there's an amount of time it takes for half of it to break down.
Yes.
And so, like, you would see in something how much of that has broken down, and you know by that, you know, the age, right? So I'm just like what is the issue? Like, is there some times where it doesn't work, if, for example, rock is in a certain environment?
It always works. We have tried to find ways to speed up or slow down this radioactive decay process, and it just can't be done. So like when people say they have problems with it, I mean, they just either don't understand it or they're just kind of desperately trying to nitpick it, because if it is true, then what they believe in is false and they can't handle that. But I mean, are you looking for a little bit of an explanation of how it actually does work? Because I can tell you that. Or did you have a different question?
I mean, I could do like one Google search. It's not that hard, and so I've already, like, you know, I've taken chemistry, and you know, it's like I don't fully remember it, but you know, it's like it's in there. Like, I just need to see it one time, and it's like it'll just fully click. But
yeah, I mean, it's not a simple process. I mean, there's kind of a lot going on, but you'd probably.
Well, it was simple for me to understand when I was taught it, right? I find like all this stuff, and I feel like it's sad, because like the only purpose is the survival of the human species. Like, there is no other purpose except that, literally, and there's no soul, and like when you die, it's literally you're just fertilizer for the plants. Like, there's no consciousness after death. Like, this is like this is just so sad, and there's like nobody looking over your life to like guide you. Like all that other stuff that's like so comforting in religion and stuff, it's like not real, and it's so sad, and it's just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, if there's nobody looking after you, it also means there's nobody to punish you for something you didn't even know was wrong.
I know, but I just want to feel like there's a debt, there's a plan for my life, there's a destiny, there's like,
what's wrong with deciding that for yourself rather than having a book written by a bunch of horrible people from the past deciding it for you? Or if a God really does exist, you know, why would you want that? Why would you want God to decide it for you? I think deciding it for yourself is awesome.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just feel like it's comforting to feel like there's my ancestors or spirit guides, like, guiding me throughout life and helping me through trials and tribulations. But yeah, like, it, I'm all alone for real. Like, I'm really all alone. It's just sad. I understand why people believe in religion. Honestly, I really don't.
Hannah Montana said, life's what you make it. So let's make it rock.
So let's make it. No. Home and way, make it.
Well, thank you so much. I'm not going to waste any more of your time.
You're welcome.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
You too.
I figured we
want to learn how to make people do this.
If that's true, then what? Hold on. This is really complicated.
It's not. This book will be your guide. I debunk all of the common anti-scientific arguments, plus some uncommon ones. Every single copy is personally signed and shipped by me. There's even an audiobook. Link in the description. This video and all my videos is on my Patreon ad-free, and you can get a free copy of my first book by being a member too. Plus, your name will appear in the end credits. Thank you.